Welcome to the Hot Young Designers Club podcast.
I'm Rebecca Plum, your big sister.
And I'm Sean Serha, your GBF.
We're not that hot or that young,
but we believe it's a state of mind that helps us build adaptable and profitable businesses.
We rely on the support of our design besties to get through each day.
So let's explore the emotional, practical, and humorous sides of being interior designers.
Welcome to the club. Hey, Sean.
What's up, Rebecca?
Happy Friday.
Another one bites the dust.
I mean, I know like I'm not supposed to like show behind the curtain, but it's nice that we record these on a Friday and they publish on Fridays.
It helps with your time dissonance.
I just don't like lying and sneaking. It's like,
I know. I've almost surrendered to the fact that we won't have the Hollywood magic coming from.
I would be really bad at that.
I mean, I don't, for me, it's just like suspended disbelief. I don't have a problem with it. Like,
I couldn't say like happy Monday. Like that would feel real.
I could do that.
Yeah, you could.
I don't have a problem.
I just want to be truthful and open with our audience because they trust us.
I don't think it's a truth issue. I think it's like a,
well, you're not Monday, creating... it's a Hollywood magic. Okay.
No, but like, yeah, it's Hollywood magic. Like you're creating a show. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Like if we spent all the time talking about Easter or something and then it comes out 2 months later, like that's weird. So you kind of have to do that. Like,
right.
But we're true. Also ahead of Easter.
And we do some timely episodes on Patreon now because we have a little bit of an ease with turning those around, which I like. We're doing that. Because I like the real time of it all.
You would like real time record an episode if we were having a phone call. You would be like,
I just need a radio show. Right, like it's like, 1998. Yeah.
Yeah. Casey Kasem. Rick Dees. Like, yeah. Okay. But
okay.
Speaking of Easter, by the time the hotties are hearing this, I pray to all things holy that we finally know what's going on with Kate Middleton by the time this episode
God
gets
dang
aired.
It. I know. You guys listening, like, we just do not know. I think I do know. I think I do know now, though. I think.
But what's your theory? What's the theory that you're subscribing to?
He had an affair with Rose Hanbury and mm-hmm. something critical happened. I don't know if she's pregnant or something, but Kate just said, enough. Fuck y'all. I'm like out. To the best of her abilities, which is not showing up in public.
See, and I have trouble with that theory because she was weighty Katie. She waited 10 years to get the
ring. That's why she's pissed and having a nervous breakdown.
But I think she's like secured the bag. Like she's like, oh, you thought Camilla waited a long time? I feel like she would not let there even be that. Like she would
but
just
also,
be like,
I'm not having this Diana situation happen again where I'm the fool and then I get let go anyway.
I mean, they can't survive that again. Like it damaged them for so long until Will and Kate kind of revived them for a period of time. And then
and that's her power that like, is. And that is her power is
we're
she
there for
helps
her.
The public persona. Yeah.
And
she
so did Diana.
Helps him. Like, so her power mm-hmm. is I'm not going to play games with you guys. Like, so just bye.
Maybe. I mean, I still
I'm not dragging
they're...
my kids through this. Like, look at him.
Him and his brother. I don't know. I think I do. The whole surgery thing could be legit. But it's probably more serious. Like, what if she had like an emergency hysterectomy or something like that? That would explain the very extended timelines. Like the whole she
not
had
2 weeks in hospital, unless.
But if she had to have an ostomy bag and all of that kind of stuff, like if it was very serious, that kind of stuff is that many months where
maybe.
She already the whole theory about like she's already we're used to seeing her very skinny, and then if she was having a problem like that where she had like intestinal stuff or whatever involved, then she'd be even skinnier. Like she would look very physically unhealthy. It wouldn't be like, oh, look, she was on Ozempic. Like, it would be like, oh, she's playing a role as the Crypt Keeper. Like,
I know, but she trotted herself out for each baby, like, with her body parts falling out of her.
Who knows what they had to do? They had to airbrush the heck out of her prosthetic cheekbones. I don't know what they had to do to prop her up.
I don't know. I mean, I think if she really was part of the solution for the family, she would be having some kind of real show up. Like,
if she could, yeah. Well, I mean, unless she physically just cannot even pull herself together to be anywhere, because they could stage whatever event. Like,
they could prop her up behind a desk where she's just like, hey guys, like, I'm fine. Thank you for today, your worries. Bye. Here, yeah. I'm holding up a newspaper. Like,
stayed on. Blink twice. Yeah. Or like, they could do like a fake, oh, look, she was at a board meeting for one of her charities and she sat behind a table and they did some snaps for 10 minutes. But not
like using old Vogue magazine photos that people are like overlaying. And like, that's crazy. They've got to know that people are crazy. Or
one of the most wealthy organizations on the planet and they cannot get a good social media and PR team. Like, designers, if you do not hire the palace's PR team, whatever you do.
You know what it is? It's just like old white men that think they know best.
This is what the public needs. We know best. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So,
hopefully by the time this is out, they were saying by Easter, nothing until Easter, but also they didn't say on Easter.
So
they were just saying it won't be until after or
negotiating appearances now. I bet she's negotiating appearances.
I want to be in a place like that.
That life sounds horrible.
I want more. I want a larger share of the Duchy of Cornwall. That's what I want.
I don't know what I would want to do that life. She can't do anything.
I mean, the duchy is worth like $1.5 billion.
But you're like, just a prisoner still.
And that's, well, a prisoner with $1 billion. Like,
but I mean, I think you're underestimating the price of freedom.
Maybe, but she also maybe underestimated it getting into it.
For sure. And
I don't know. I don't know if anything could prepare you for that.
Who didn't underestimate their life and relationships when they were 19?
I mean, if anyone, it feels like Kate kind of knew better. But I don't blame like it for messing with Diana, messing with Harry and Meghan. Like, there's obviously the pressure to just be like a full-time public servant.
Even just like thinking about the things that I like to do. Like, I popped into Target yesterday, and sometimes I'm going to say this with a huge grain of salt. I have gotten quote unquote recognized at Target before.
Yeah.
Just from Instagram. And I was not
your best
camera ready, let's say. I don't even think I had a bra on. Like, and that was, and it was COVID and it was fine. I had a mask on, like, whatever. And the people are, you know, she was nice. She just followed me on Instagram before. So I just always think about it now, though. Like, anytime I'm like, ooh, I'm really like pushing social acceptability with what I'm wearing right now, because I want
the limits of public decency.
Yes, because I just want to pop in, or like right after school drop off, like 8:15 on a Tuesday morning at Target is like the best time. So, but if somebody, like, if you, any of those things that you just enjoy doing alone in an anonymous way, like, someone is digging through your trash, like, all of it would be horrible.
Yeah. It's hard because,
and your family members too. Like, essentially anyone that works in her house is potentially a hostile opponent.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, she would never be able to go outside in sweatpants. Like, but in full disclosure, I seriously do not own a pair of sweatpants. Like, I have athletic shorts and things, but like, I don't go out I don't go out in public. I'm not trying to like virtue signal anything here. Like I just, my mom always was like, you can't go out like that. And I still think that, like, I still constantly hear that voice of like,
you're not like dressed to the night. I mean,
like, but I'll wear like a t-shirt and jeans everywhere. But I mean, will I'm not always gonna still go, have like, be ready to see the public kind of, you know,
I will do drop off when I don't have to get out of the car. I will do it in slippers and a sweatshirt over basically pajamas. But I'm not.
Can you imagine though,
car
if, like,
unless something
a tire popped
happened.
And you had to like,
oh, totally.
Like you're just like sitting somewhere in public. In a repair shop.
Yeah, no,
like
I do think about that.
Pajamas, like looking like.
I do
like
think
a,
about that, but
that's
also,
the thing when you're
like,
in a different setting, suddenly
wife.
You look like a basket case when you're just like in your
yes.
slippers, like at a doctor's office.
And hello,
and
like,
what like happened?
Having.
Is she having a breakdown? Like,
and having brown skin and no makeup, like it's like an added layer of, okay, ma'am. Like,
yeah.
Did you steal this car? So.
Is that your child? Like,
yeah.
These are the things that happen. Like, I think, so part of that is my best little boy in the world stuff that is just, like, never going
to
go.
Yeah,
away.
And
just,
you don't have to roll out of bed and do shit for a kid, which takes it out of you after a while.
Oh, yeah.
It takes
you're
the
like,
giving a fuck a out of it.
Yeah,
of you.
Exactly. You're just like, I have literally no fucks. So.
Right.
Just you got another living
day.
Being. You got another living being. Dressed, ready to school. She has something to eat or the possibility to eat something. That's a win.
But if
like,
I
a win is a
was
win.
A celebrity, I'd have some sort of stylist. But I still... But you're not going to Target. You're not allowed to. Like, most celebrities can't go to Target. Even, like, B-listers.
I mean, I feel like I'm okay not going to Target. But there's other places I'd want to go that would be bothersome. So,
right.
In other world events. This is our show.
So, we, yes. And thank you. Thank you for being here, hotties. All right. Yeah. So, what are we doing today?
We started a conversation way back in December, episode 107, Just Stop Six, Judgment Day. And one of the things that came up was like whether designers should be offering their photographers lunch. And when I tell you guys that Rebecca has not let any time go by in the last 3 months that that conversation happened, I tell you that with my full chest that she keeps bringing up this conversation. And so we're not maybe going to get it to go to bed during this episode. But it opened up a lot of cans of worms around what rights designers should have. And maybe even
okay.
analyzing what exists and should it exist. Like questioning the systems that are in place.
And there's a few different themes here. Like that buying photographer's lunch, that is a coming from an agency professionalism that whoever is the client gets the free lunch. So that has nothing to do with like, I'm not going to let somebody starve. I'm not going to order around one person and not invite them to have a sandwich. Like, I'm not.
Yeah. We didn't order Chipotle for my whole team and then not ask the photographer.
You want a chip here? No, that's not what that's about. But I do think there is a level of professionalism that has gotten lost over the years. And I do think in our industry, designers are the fucking holding the bag for everything. Like we are responsible for everything. And maybe that's a good thing because maybe that's what we want as fairly controlling people in general. But I think, I don't know. I mean, who takes care of us? I guess vendors sometimes do.
Do you think some of this feeling is because we feel like we're not being fairly compensated for what we put in. And so then to see
probably.
So many
and
other
it comes
parties
from my
dipping.
Past,
like,
it comes also from my past career. Like, yeah, whoever is getting paid is the one that buys lunch. Like, I don't know. That's just, to me, the end of that topic, like, and I don't think people are thinking about it anymore.
No, probably not most
especially
people.
Especially like a lot of photographers that haven't worked in like an agency world or don't know, they haven't worked in like a service profession before. And yeah. not that they're unprofessional in their jobs, like obviously talented and know how to run their businesses, but just
right
from the etiquette standpoint.
I've never heard, in fairness, I have never heard of any designer getting lunch paid for by their photographer.
Have you seen any
designers where they're saying, oh yeah, my photographer had some sandwiches brought in for us that day, or my photographer brought in $100 worth of snacks for us to eat from that day during our shoot. Like, I don't think anybody has, I've never seen it ever.
And I guess it's because it's our set, but I don't know. Talk about
well, you do know.
I don't know, maybe.
You do know.
Well,
you're
that's
very,
my
like,
belief. Like,
yeah. Is that you're the client in that case when you're the designer.
Yeah.
And you should be getting better treatment. Or more courteous.
Well, I have to pay you and buy you lunch. Like, or put that in your contract. Like, that's what they do in the wedding industry. Like, I'm your DJ. Like, this also includes a meal. Like, that's fine, I guess. Although I'm not serving dinner, like in a wedding.
Yeah. But if I was doing like a day-long shoot, at some point, someone's going to have to
eat
something.
We need to work
something.
In lunch. Yeah.
And we need to make sure that stuff is that we're cared for as people. Like, that's something that's missing from this. So.
Everyone needs to eat. Yes.
And I don't want this to turn into a photographer jacking up the price $5,000 because now they have to offer food. Like, that's not what we're asking for. Like, I would not expect it to become this like premium experience where you're catering in an omelet bar, like
bringing in donuts or something. Like, that's what I don't know. I just think there's something kind of missing with that. And then I don't know.
I mean, because we do it for client meetings.
Designers. Yes.
We bring in stuff for client meetings. We buy snacks, drinks, like little things here and there. We're buying. I'm thinking about how many designers say that they send pizzas to the job site or whatever. And that comes out of our pocket. And arguably, I'm going to bet that most of the designers would say, yeah, I just did that out of the kindness of my heart. But I'm not really like, for many, not getting the compensation to match that. It's just, this is the right thing to do to be hospitable. And that's kind of part of our industry, is we are sort of a hospitality focused
industry.
Well,
the bringing pizza to job sites, that is relationship building and trying to keep things running smoothly. So, but again, there's no client vendor really on a job site typically. That's just like a coworker in a way. Like, we're not paying them. They're not paying us.
Like the contractors or subcontractors, you mean? Yeah. But we got
but
more than likely, many times we got them the job. Like many designers are referring in the contractor too. And I don't know about you, but I haven't had very many dinner gifts from contractors. So that's just me.
I have gotten Christmas gifts from contractors who we've given referrals to. So I think that there are exceptions for sure. But I would argue that we are not the most high paid on the job too, like to what you were saying earlier, but yet we're the ones who have to fluff everybody up. I don't know. It is
we're
kind
fluffers?
Of a little bit of a...
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, yes. We got to keep
Hello,
them
fluffers.
Going. Like,
whatever. I'm not getting into that. No. Not whatever
but,
it takes. No,
but
no, no.
Kind of. I mean, we're cheerleaders sometimes for sure. Like keeping morale up and everybody happy from client to contractor to whatever.
Sure.
Okay. But this isn't totally what this episode's about.
What else did you want to talk about?
Photographer lunch? No, we're talking about like designer rights, kind of in a way. Like, we are not lawyers. We are not offering legal advice.
No, the understatement. But yeah.
Kind of around usage. Photography does come into this, but there's been a lot of just kind of incidences popping up on Instagram in the last couple months, somewhat around, well, different things. One was AI. And some companies taking designer images, converting them with AI to their own quote unquote images with possibly their own products, or like one or two small things changed to skirt copyright laws. Because I think copyright laws are like 15% has to be different.
Well, but not if
the
same, the original image is still yours and they didn't have a right to even take it and edit it in the first place. So they still wouldn't have the legal right to take your original image. But they're taking just enough to try to claim that, oh, we didn't take that original image. This is actually, we somehow magically ended up at an image that looks very much like yours, but isn't yours. But
if you overlay them just like Kate Middleton's face on the cover of Vogue, it's the same.
Yes.
Same angles, same materials, same everything, except with their own lighting or whatever. So
Natalie Myers had... about the designer? Oh, okay, I wasn't sure.
Well, she's advocating for this. So Natalie Myers is a designer in Los Angeles, and she recently posted about this. And she's rightly fired up because it's a very blatant use of her work.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, how did it end up resolving? Because the company that was using her images and reinterpreting them in AI, they were part of the conference. They started piping in because they were getting tagged like crazy in her posts.
Well, I think the mafia started to come for them because she shared it. And so they started activating, like the monkeys started flying.
Instantly. Is it still up? Yeah, it's still up. It's a picture of her, of a powder room with kind of a tight shot.
It's beautiful marble. We'll link it in the show notes, but it's a beautiful, like, Calicutta Viola kind of looking stone. And then she's got it in a carousel where it shows the original image. And then the secondary image is a vendor who took the... I mean, it's a stolen photo. Like, we just have to be honest. Like, it's...
Yeah, and Home Depot got busted for doing something very similar a few years ago. And here's where it, like, gets kind of hard. I have no idea if the CEO thought this was a good idea or not, but some of these companies, I'm sure, just have a low entry level interns who are like, oh, I know how we can get more content. I'm just gonna go find some cool rooms and make this. And then I'm just making this up, but I can just see how that could happen at a company and the ownership leadership does not know what's happening and then they're fucked. They should be.
Like, yeah, if your intern is out there like writing awful customer service reply messages, like ultimately the buck stops with you, not with the person you didn't train properly or have good expectations for or whatever. And so I still do. Yeah, but we were talking about this when we were in Vegas for KBiz. Like, the company is still responsible for training people for looking at their own images. Like, knowing.
I guess this just gets hard right now because AI is moving so fast that you may not have even, like, you could easily not know that a technology is birthed and your company people are using it. So that's just where it gets scary and like just having to have a lot of oversight when it comes to this kind of stuff, for sure. Like,
yeah. But if you're speeding if you're going 60 in a 45 because you didn't know the speed limit, you could still get a ticket for going over the speed limit. Like, ignorance is not bliss.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're doing it, that it's okay, but it's scary as individuals, especially if you had a team under you, like things like this can happen that you're not even aware of. So, I mean, the company said they did remove stuff from their site. I'm sure they're like, oh shit.
I mean, it looks terrible. And in that case, the company, it's Ethnic Living, like they are seeking designer business is what I would believe. Like they would want designers to want to work with them, but it's definitely going to continue to leave a very sour
stain.
I mean, the thing about them though is that they are a reseller. Like they might manufacture also, but I'm looking at this website and I'm seeing pieces that I know are manufactured by other brands and they're not. And that would make sense. Like,
or are they being inspired by other brands?
I mean, it's hard to tell because some of these look, I'm not going to say the brands that I know them to be because I'm going to bet that there is probably some e-commerce agreement with this. Like, these are not, they're in Laguna Beach. Oh, these are local people. These are people who set up a wholesaling entity because, yeah, some of these are from.
And a lot of the retailers do that. Like Lulu in Georgia does it. I mean,
Serena Lily,
Pottery Barn does it.
Decor, So I'm not going to say that inherently the product is bad that they're putting out there or what's available. It's more the
marketing,
doing the right thing in your marketing, and then also the like embarrassment factor of this company did post some stuff later about it, and I think it was on stories. Like I don't think they. Oh no, actually, it's in there. I'm gonna link it too in the show notes, but they did put an apology. Now, whether we believe it, it's. Them using these images in their product. It's not just using it on Instagram. It's that they're also using stuff in product imagery and
on their website to sell it.
And they need, like they're selling product with it and profiting off of the work, in this case, photos that were not taken by them. So there's a photographer involved who has probably some legal rights to that. And there's also the designer's intellectual property that was created through that design. And that is also not being credited properly.
Yeah, I mean, I think just mostly bringing this up is just like the usage rights of everything. Okay, that's clearly not a gray area. Like that is just wrong. Like get inspired and then make it a lot different. But like AI, this is where the thing that gets scary for me with AI is it's so hard to trace and track. People do not, the mass public does not know the difference between real photography and AI imagery a lot of the time. So it's crazy. So what could they have done, right? Could they have reached out and offered to pay for that and then reinterpreted it with their own products in it? Yes, they could ask.
I mean, it just depends. So in this case is where we start getting back into the messy water of what is in the contract with the photographer? Because in most of my experiences, I have worked with the photographer that Natalie worked with. I have worked with her before. In the version of the contract I had, she would have to negotiate a licensing agreement with that company to be able to use the imagery. And I'm sure that the licensing would be very expensive if they wanted the right to alter the image outside of her control.
And use it in advertising.
Right. And then I would bet that the fee would look different if she was going to be the one helping to alter the image and, you know, have herself still associated with the licensing of that alteration. But then you and I were talking about, well, then doesn't this get into a really messy place too, where that image is now out in the world and maybe recognizable as that designer's work? And Has anyone asked
the designer if they're okay with it?
Yeah.
Legally, they don't have to.
In most cases, right? Most photographers do not have to ask for permission to, once they have the image, it is theirs and they can do
essentially
what
their
they want
work,
with it.
Which that's where I think it's just really shady and weird. I have a really,
It brings up a lot of deep-seated things. Yeah.
It's really hard for me that designers work for years a lot of times on projects and then they lose all rights to access their photography and use them as they want. If they wanted to do something that was outside of the contract.
Yeah, usually there's like a limited agreement, like can be used for editorial but not print, so it's digital only. It can be used to market on internal use materials or social media, but and on your website, but can't be shared with other parties. Like,
can't be published without their permission, but the photographer can trot it out to anybody that they want. Like, we both know a designer whose photographer sells photos to manufacturers all the time. And the designer knows it, but like,
yeah, like they sell the images.
Really hard time with that.
To very large, prominent appliance companies.
So they shoot a kitchen, and they're like, "Oh, goody! That's gonna. I know that they're gonna pay me $500 a pop for these."
Yeah, GE Monogram is gonna give me $1,500 for these, and all I had to do, I got paid to show up to take pictures of a project, and now I'm going to get a like double, triple dip every time I see a product in here.
And so now the designer's work is on these appliance companies' websites, probably being used for advertisement if they paid for those rights from the photographer, and the designer gets jack shit. I'm not saying the photographer shouldn't get paid, but I just think that black and white part is really weird. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if, does anybody have a photographer that they work with that like somehow shares usage rights? Like, I just feel like it should at least be shared. I don't even know if that's possible, but
I don't know how that works. Yeah. I don't know enough about that part of it. But what I do know is that most of us don't have the full rights to our imagery, meaning we can do whatever we want with them.
Work for hire. Like, you would want work for hire from a photographer to get that. I do with my sister-in-law, but that's for now. Like, she could change that.
But does she do, I don't know her business model, because she used to do other types of photography. She would just give full rights to everybody before she started doing interiors.
She's also from a different
also
non-litigious country.
We can't, okay.
Like, she would work without contracts a lot of times in general.
Yeah. So also, I feel like just the culture of it is different depending on where you are. Like who owns the negatives? Like, it's very much set up here in the, at least in the States, it's very set up to, the photographer owns the originals, like the negatives of their photos of Naomi Campbell, and they agree to sell some to Vogue for some reason or to a brand. And unless Vogue or that brand specifically negotiates to buy the full unlimited usage rights to that image, they don't own it. The photographer keeps it. The photographer owns that as their art, so to speak.
And Naomi Campbell, at least she gets paid a lot up front.
Well, but she had to negotiate that. I'm getting paid to give you my image. And she also controls how long her image can be published without getting paid more. So like most models, like even on the signs, they're like literally, I know this is part of that too, is like, it's not royalties, but we had just like pictures of regular people on banking posters in the bank, and we could be fined tens of thousands of dollars if we left those posters up past an expiration date, because the subjects of the photos and or the photographers were paid based on how long that campaign would run with those images. And those had to come down. Otherwise, we're continuing to use it as part of a campaign or to make money. And they deserve to get paid. It was a limited use. Right. So it's like this campaign can only run until June. And after, once it becomes July 1st, this campaign, we're not going to, the images can't be online anymore. They can't be used in print campaigns. They can't be up on posters. Like, you're done. And if you want to renew them, great. Set up a new arrangement and make sure everyone gets paid again for that imagery. And that's wonderful. Like, people still keep getting paid. But I feel like our images do not have those limits whatsoever.
And a lot of that, like with AI, that had a lot to do with the strike and extras getting their mm-hmm. personas redone in AI, and then that's just being allowed to stay in somebody's database forever. So
yeah, like the image of a non-speaking extra could keep getting used.
Just so weird. Like, you're like, oh my god, this movie is 30 years later, and then you see your 25 year old self in the background. So
did you ever see that movie with Robin Wright? It's a very trippy, The Congress?
No.
It's from 2013. And it's in essence, like, she is her character. This is Robin Wright, the actress. She's in it. And she is playing this actress who's been in all sorts of movies forever. And eventually she negotiates to have her image sold. And it gets used over and over as sort of like this action movie star by a studio, even though she's like the person is done acting. It's very meta because she is Robin Wright, playing Robin Wright, who is also mm-hmm. an actress. It gets a little trippy. And then it's the idea, though, that this, like, your image belongs to a studio and you wrote a contract and they would have a right to use the image and your likeness and your voice and whatever. And they would continue to make movies and she would get paid. And then at some point, it's almost like what it gets kind of tied in with how music, like your rights to your music.
Yeah.
Sell them.
What are they called?
At some point, like your masters.
Their masters. Yeah.
So like Stevie Nicks has already penned a deal to sell her masters. It's done. She's been paid a flat sum for it. And whatever she creates from here on out belongs to the person who bought it. And she was paid very handsomely for it. And she no longer has them. And they can do what they want with them.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Jay-Z is very vocal about like maintaining his, and obviously the whole Taylor Swift of it all, re-recording her masters to regain ownership. But
like you and I can't recreate a design and re-photograph it because a photographer went rogue on us. Like,
technically, I guess we could, but
We're not getting back into that house. Like,
no,
it's done.
Or I'm just going to design the same kitchen again in someone else's house and renegotiate my contract next time. I mean, I think it's really an interesting conversation. I'd be open to hearing a photographer's perspective on it. And I am not saying photographers shouldn't get paid well. I know that they have spent years like learning their craft, and it is an art form as well as a skill. But I had a photographer once. I was asking for photos to maybe get published in a book I was requested for. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I don't know if I have them anymore. So like, they weren't even valuable really to her. Like, she kind of threw them away. Maybe she didn't, but could have. And I don't know.
I mean, that to me is really
shitty.
That's
a weird thing to me. And I don't know the whole story, and I'm not trying to throw her under the bus, but I mean, if it's art, you're not going to throw your Picasso in the trash. Like, you're saving every scrap.
I don't know. There were a lot of artists who got rid of their stuff because they didn't think it was valuable, and they were just like, here, take this piece of junk.
And they didn't get paid for it either.
and they painted over it, or it ended up in an attic somewhere. I mean, we have a lot of uncredited pieces because of that. Like, I do think that's a very interesting parallel to come up during this, of just artists not valuing their own work and underestimating it.
But is that what's happening to us? Is that what we're doing as an industry? And we're just accepting these rights?
Or as... Yeah. Well, are we talking about the designer or the photographers? Because they're also related to our industry.
I know. I'm talking about the designer signing over the rights to the work.
I mean, my own perspective on this is that I don't feel like I have ever felt like I've had a choice. Like, every photographer I talk to has this system set up. It's almost like they all talk to the same...
Yeah, it's an industry
coach
standard
or process, or someone taught them that this is how it's done. And so no one really questioned it. And there have been designers who are on various Facebook groups or whatever, and they're like, basically the energy is like, I'm going to fight City Hall. And everyone in the comments is like, girl, it's not going to happen. Like, if you want to buy outright the full rights to your photos so you own them and the photographer no longer does, like, they're going to charge you a lot of money to own them. And generally...
You didn't even get paid that much for the design fee. That just doesn't add up. Like,
I mean, even if I got paid a lot for a design fee, it still is going
to feel
weird.
What would it have to be, though? Like, 10 times? For that to make it worth it?
I mean, at any point, does it make it worth it? Like, at any point, does it... Like, don't you think if you got paid even more for it, you're like, then I really don't want to give it away to you. Like, I don't want... I think just the feeling of it is, it still feels weird that someone else can control
their
my
art
work
without me.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't have their work without us.
They're not out shooting nature. Like, they can't do their interior photography work without interior designers. So it is a symbiotic relationship. So that's where I'm just like, is there a meet in the middle that could happen where everyone's sharing compensation and usage? I also was like, it's kind of like if you were to get divorced and had child custody stuff, like, you can't just take your kid out of the country. Like, the other parent, if they have the legal rights, have to sign
off
on it. Like, yeah.
I think there's something to the idea of, on the lowest level, it would be great if I at least had to provide some sort of consent.
Yes.
For an image to be sold. Because what if I had a really terrible experience with whatever, an appliance company or a vendor? And what if after the photos were taken, the client ended up having to, like, sue to get all new appliances, or, you know what I mean? Like, anything could happen. It could be very messy. And for some reason, this is like goes down the line here. The towels that I styled with, I don't want them to have that publicity as a result of my photo. Like,
or something terrible happens with their CEO and they're like doing something horrendous. Like, and you don't
shop Bando
photo on their website. Like, yeah.
Problematic things are going to happen, and you may just want the ability to say, no, I don't want this to be shared with them. And it, like, so if it was it like mutual agreement, like
as a base, like minimum.
That would be like,
so
the
I feel like
level.
I feel like that is something a designer could ask of their photographer if the language allows, like, is allowing just them to go wild with your work. I don't know.
I couldn't imagine any attorney telling a photographer, yeah, that sounds good. That'll work out for you. Because the worst case scenario of that is a designer just never mutually agrees to let you share their work. So in essence, you are signing a contract that says you can't do it. Yeah. So that would mean, like, in theory.
I can't, but that's what they're doing to us.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even have my work in this book if the photographer hadn't released the rights to it. Like, I'm not paying for print, it. I'm not getting paid.
The print stuff should be...
And she did that, allow it. I mean, so, this feel is like just a could have been situation.
But also she was in a situation where if she already kind of tipped her hat to you that she didn't find the images that valuable to even preserve them in a drive somewhere and oops, I might have deleted them. Like, it's hard to then come back to the negotiating table and say, I know I thought they were worthless, but now that you told me they're not, I want to get paid. Like, that's just, that is just foolish business on her part to even say, like,
well,
she didn't even have
not
to say
wanting
that.
To get paid. Like, she can want to get paid all day. I want to get paid for everything, but I'm not.
I mean, I would. It's funny because I feel like I want to get paid more for my work, and I constantly feel like I'm updating my rates more than annually. Like, feeling like I need to be compensated better, and I would say that. With my current photographer, I feel like she is could also be paid more for what she does for me. And so...
Well, for everyone else but you.
What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I tell vendors sometimes, oh, you should definitely change your prices, but just because I told you that,
but not
mine.
For me. Yeah. Because I'm giving you great business advice that'll get you more money. So it's kidding. Like... I don't even, here's what I would say. I don't even know that I'm not already getting a better rate from her because I've worked with her for a long time that I probably am. And I will continue to bring her work. And I understand that when you get, she continues to get better. Her equipment continues to get better. Her edits continue to get better. She helps me style. Like, I don't ever feel like, just clearing the air on this, I don't feel like I've ever been taken advantage of. And in fact, I'm close enough with her that, like, I kind of want her to get licensing money because I don't feel like she's getting enough compensation. And
but depending on the brand, you're probably happy to have your work on it.
Yeah, depending on who it is. But it's like, I also haven't been in the situation yet where it has been bought by someone else and shared somewhere else where I felt like, oh, I'm kind of getting taken advantage of. Like, this brand gets to use this imagery for like 15 years and the whole internet explodes around it, but no one ever knows it's my design, but they've seen it on this brand's website now for years and they're getting cash from it. Like,
yeah,
it's a little
I've
weird. I do
had
understand
that happen.
It.
I mean, I have done that with brands in exchange for product. And I'm like, oh, that's my dining room on this lighting website.
But like, you
I was
did
showing
do...
clients. But I like, I knew that was going to happen. And I don't care because it's my photography, which is whatever. So, but it would get tricky with a photographer who wouldn't allow it. Like, I couldn't have made those deals either.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I just like, I did recently see on a Facebook post, this kind of came up, and there were a few designers that said, this is why we started shooting our own. And I don't know, yeah. I'm not mad at it. Like, I mean, if you're lucky, like Jean Stopher and have five talented kids that each know a different part of your business.
I know. Yeah.
That's the dream.
Yeah, you bring it in-house.
You're
completely.
Not actually doing it yourself, but...
Yeah, because then the photographer is an employee of her company, and so therefore, the photographer does not own the rights to those photos. Like, her company
and everything that happens with those photos is just mutually beneficial to everybody. I know, it's tricky. I feel like I'm just sounding like an asshole in this whole episode, so... I don't know.
I think it's less about a specific photographer or a specific
instance. No, it isn't about a specific photographer.
It's really just the like screaming into the wind almost of how did the system get like this? Why is it like this? Is this actually the intent of that system? And then I'll also say, like, for the photographers that we do know that make money on licensing the images or selling them to brands or so on and so on, there are just as many who don't have any of the time or energy to do that, even though they've retained the right to do it. There are just as many who, even I've talked to some, they're like, I actually have zero time or energy to try to pitch this stuff and deal with negotiating contracts because I'm so busy being out taking these photos for projects because I depend on the guaranteed income of booked gigs that I don't have the time to shop these anywhere or pitch them to anywhere. And I'm
sure
there's
one VA on Upwork away from being able to do that.
I mean, honestly, like there's probably an agency out there somewhere who could make a lot of money marketing these images to brands and setting up the media contacts and saying, here's a new portfolio. It has these brands or these companies in it. We want to help you sell it. They take a fee. The photographer makes a small portion of it off, you know, Bob's your uncle.
And that gets me into tagging brands in your work, because that sort of alerting them to this option. Because if you tag, like I know there are a lot of designers that feel very strongly about not revealing their sources, which I understand why.
Yeah.
And then there's also, well, I'm here to provide a level of service to my audience, my Instagram audience. You decide what you want that to be. And so it's giving services to the audience, but it's also alerting the brands to the work.
Yeah. So now that they've seen it, they know about it.
Now they can pitch your photographer for rights.
Yeah. It gets a little bit weird. And also, also contractors. We haven't even touched on like,
oh God.
Hold on. So like, do we need to take the rest of this offline?
And talk about contractors? Peace and quiet. I mean, we can.
So
we can
more.
Put this over to Patreon.
I think we need to do that because there's more. And there's other things we haven't talked about yet that we need to put into some safety. We're in a safe space zone.
Okay. So Patreon is just for our loyal hotties. And we have a couple episodes every month where we get into a little more nitty gritty.
Get real shady.
I feel like I've exposed myself enough today.
Put your boobs away.
You know, I don't. I'm going to button up. You know,
put
I
your
don't like
back on.
Being publicly shady.
So we're going to put more of this there because I think there's a lot more of that conversation that we're just like, we've already gone pretty far here and there's more to still talk about. So if you want to hear those episodes, head to patreon.com/HYDC. That's where the rest is.
Okay. Until next time.
Stay hot, designers.
Thanks for listening to the Hot Young Designers Club podcast.
For more on what we talked about today, check out the show notes.
Your support helps us grow, so share with your design besties.
And subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Our conversations continue on Instagram.
And be sure to download our monthly resources on our website and our Patreon.